Greetings to the broadest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob and Yurt Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. For today's program, we've got two photos of Pope Francis that should freak you out. We've got two things to say about Bill Cosby being led away in handcuffs today to begin his jail sentence. And we've got two Brett Kavanaugh accusers that now are really just one. It's like a quantum effect. We've got the two important subjects in school that girls do much better at than boys, which should freak out the feminists since they want equality. And we've got reason number 1,347 to get your kids out of public school. That's right here from Colorado. Wow, what a nightmare story. The best school district in the state paying $11 million to the victims of the teacher who sexually abused these students. What were they, 17-year-old girls? Oh, no, sorry. They were in middle school. Middle school. And how could it be that, you know what? I think I got to talk to our producer. This story cannot be true. This says the Cherry Creek schools paid $11 million to victims of the teacher who sexually abused students beginning in 2013, at least five girls so far. And it can't be true because the Cherry Creek School District is the best district in the state. So this story obviously is false. We have to go back. I apologize for the show on behalf of the producers, on behalf of my parents, my mother, Connie, who works here in the studio. We only have 1,346 reasons to get your kids out of public school. This just can't be. No, it is true. You're saying it is true. There are two or three witnesses. There are many more. Okay. All right. Apparently, this is true. This 34-year-old teacher has been sexually abusing students, and the school district is paid out $11 million. So, and that's at the best school district in Colorado. So what no parent should do, especially a Christian parent, is to send their children to a government school. Don't send your kids to public school. Of course, they're godless, and they're officially godless, but that's secondary. The bigger problem with the public schools is that they're government schools. You see, if you had a government school that taught the Bible, that would be even worse. There are some things that are just immoral, like a house of ill repute where men find prostitutes. Would you rather have a Christian house of ill repute? A godly house of ill repute? Would that make it better? How about a crack house? You want a Christian crack house? No, of course. So the problem with the public schools is not that they're godless. That's a secondary issue. And in fact, if they did teach the Bible, it would be even a greater abomination. Because the government steals money from people, taking money unjustly to fund something it should not be doing. To the extent that the government educates children, to that extent the parents have relinquished that responsibility. Hey, you know, others have been making that argument lately, and we've been making it on the air for almost 30 years. Almost 30 years, to the extent that the government takes on the responsibility to educate children, to that extent parents will relinquish that responsibility. Okay. It's sort of like the whole nicer than God thing that we began to promote back in the 90s, and that has taken off also to where you could find tens of thousands of web pages, at least that's what Google says, that talk about nicer than God, nicer than Jesus. And so we're going to begin a radio series on that topic tomorrow, right? We're going to do it three Wednesdays in a row. We're going to do Nicer Than God, part 1, 2, and 3. I hope you will enjoy that. And so what do we have? The two photos of Pope Francis, the two Kavanaugh accusers who are now really just one to cover on today's show, the two subjects that girls do much better at than boys. And then there's Jimmy Kimmel. I'm not going to quote what Jimmy Kimmel said. I'm not even going to describe it, but it is more proof of what I accused him of on ABC, on TV, some years ago on Politically Incorrect with Bill Maher. You know, that show, it always had one conservative versus four liberals. And they did that not to be unfair. They were trying to make it even. They're trying to even up the odds. So one conservative against four liberals. And so I was on once with Bill Maher and Jimmy Kimmel and others. And I said to him, Jimmy, Hollywood used to have comedians, but Hollywood no longer has comedians. You are not a comedian. You're a crotch humorist. You're a crotch humorist. And he recoiled from, he did not like that at all. About a year later, I was on that show 4 or 5 times. In fact, we have a DVD of all those appearances. You could get it from our store, kgov.com. Click on the store, and it's called Bob Debates the Stars. And if you look at that page, you'll see the names, I think, of all the celebrities I was on there with. And about a year later, one of my other appearances there, they have Jimmy Kimmel on again with me. And I said the same exact thing a year later, and he really got annoyed. And I said, Jimmy, Hollywood used to have comedians. They no longer do. You're not a comedian. You're just a crotch humorist. That's it. It's all bathroom humor. And, of course, he does some other humor, but that's his substance. He's a crotch humorist. And he has confirmed it once again with what he said about Brett Kavanaugh. Right, the two things about Bill Cosby being led away in handcuffs today after being convicted of raping one of the more than 60 women who have come forward. His MO, his modus operandi, was to drug these women and then to sexually violate them. So the first thing is that we're so thankful that he has been convicted, and his money, of course, was a major factor in the delay of justice and the fact that he was able to get away with this crime against so many women. So we're so very thankful, even though until I became aware of these accusations, Bill Cosby was my lifetime favorite comedian. And I grew up loving Bill Cosby. But now I am so glad that he has been convicted. And the second point is that his sentence is inadequate. He should be put to death. Bill Cosby should be put to death for violating these women, even for the one woman who he is convicted of raping. He should be put to death. We'll address that more when we get into our series that will begin tomorrow on Nicer Than God. Now, it turns out that Brett Kavanaugh's first accuser, Deborah Ramirez, you know, she's from the People's Republic of Boulder, right here in Colorado. That's 200 square miles surrounded by reality, right? And no, my producer is saying I misspoke. I said she's the first accuser. No, she's the first accuser because that Christine Ford's allegations, you know, the country, it takes the country often a long time to catch up to reality. Here at Bob and Yurt Live, because of our Christian worldview, our biblical worldview, we apply the biblical principles to understand the news of the day. But actually, to be more accurate, it's more like what Jesus did in the Gospels. He described the news of the day in order to teach biblical principles. And that's really what we do. We don't primarily use biblical principles to understand the news of the day, because that's so transient. let's say back in the 1840s, you had people who really understood what was going on in the process in politics. They really understood it. So what? 1840s? Nobody cares anymore about all of that. Nobody really cares. Things have an effect, yes, and they have an eternal effect. But for the most part, if you were an expert in the royal court in Paris in the 1640s, does it really matter? Did it even really matter by the 1680s? Did it really matter? And today? But if you are an expert at right and wrong, and if you are an expert on what God has revealed to us, and if you obey the Lord in what he wants from you, and don't worry, all he wants from you is you, your life, then those things will make an eternal difference in a significant way. In a significant way and in a positive way. So what we actually do is take the news of the day that folks are naturally interested in, and we use the headlines in order to teach biblical principles. Now, there are not a large number of talk shows that do that. They don't do that. And so you could listen for 30 years to Rush Limbaugh or Sean Hannity, and sure, you'll get agitated and have plenty of reasons to despise liberals. You'll have plenty of reason to despise Bill Clinton, but then so does Hillary Clinton. So where's that really getting you? So no, I'm disagreeing with my producer here. I didn't misspeak. This Deborah Ramirez from Boulder, she is the first accuser now because that Christine Ford's allegations have been falsified. So she's a false witness. She's a known false witness. And as we said yesterday, of course, the Democrats, the left, the liberals in this Supreme Court confirmation fight, they would not do anything differently if they knew she was lying. They would still press with the same feigned indignation. And they would still try to use a known false allegation to smear Brett Kavanaugh as a sexual abuser. So Christine Ford is a false witness. And yeah, I guess you could still call her an accuser, right? But that's like calling a flat earther as a witness in an investigation about the Space Shuttle Challenger disaster. I mean, it's like that. So with Christine Ford's accusation mute, as far as truth is concerned, there's now Kavanaugh's remaining accuser, and the left, they could probably come up with more, right? But right now, Kavanaugh has a remaining accuser, which the New York Times, who would like nothing more to stop this nomination because they hate the Republicans and they hate Donald Trump and whatever momentum he does have in implementing his agenda, they'd like to stop that momentum. And with a failure on the record, then that would help motivate the Democrats to vote in November. So they have all kinds of motivations, including that the competition between Democrats and Republicans, and they just don't like Brett Kavanaugh. So they would love to report that the accusation of Deborah Ramirez can be corroborated, except that they've done their own investigation and they have found that recently, in an unguarded moment, she admitted to one or more of her former college classmates that she herself wasn't positive about who it was who sexually harassed her. And that they were not able to find a single classmate of the many people who presumably were there who can confirm her account of the event or the assault, which would have been a somewhat public molestation. But regardless of all that, Brett Kavanaugh's career has been ruined, and that ruination has nothing to do with these women, but with his affirming and legitimizing the decriminalized killing of innocent children. That is what ruined Brett Kavanaugh's career, because he became a moral relativist in court. That's called a legal positivist, when he says that Roe v. Wade is settled as a precedent of the Supreme Court, his words, and that as such, it deserves respect from judges. So if you were in Germany, like Antonin Scalia was asked, and he was a judge, and it was settled law that you can kill the Jews, then you say judges need to respect that this is settled law. When the U.S. Supreme Court, in the Dred Scott decision, their majority decision, said that black people could be owned as cattle, chattel, different but same concept. And even though the slave Dred Scott was brought to a free territory, that did not mean that he thereby earned his freedom, because he was really just property of his white owner, and so he was still a slave. And so when you look at something like that, when you look at the German judges who were tried at Nuremberg, and you see that they were cogs in the wheel of injustice, and what they did was evil, and for someone to say, well, they were following the process and that was the law, that was their job, as James Dobson has said, that means he has become a legal positivist, he has become a moral relativist, as Brett Kavanaugh has done, and it's helped his career so far. Okay. So we've got also, so the two Kavanaugh accusers are now really just one, and the New York Times, of all investigative outlets, seems already to have dispatched with her accusation. Then you've got the two photos of Pope Francis that have just come to my attention. One, just this past week, he's meeting with church leaders at the Vatican to talk about priests raping children. That's the topic. And what the hierarchy of the church has done to cover up, to silence, to keep it in secret, and in fact, to continually transfer those priests to unsuspecting dioceses where they could continue to be sexual predators. So that's basically the topic of the meeting. And the photo that the Vatican released shows Pope Francis, he's laughing. Everyone in the room, they're all smiling or laughing or smirking, the whole group of them. All these men, all dressed like women, they all have merriment on their faces. And you want to talk about being tone deaf. But Pope Francis' problem is not being tone deaf. It's being evil. That's his problem. And he's been evil, and he comes down on the side of wickedness almost every time, on almost every issue. That's his problem, not being tone deaf. But then there's a second photo of Francis, and this is from 3 years ago. I've just seen it, and he's holding a gift. A crucifix was given to him, and it's called the Communist Crucifix. The Communist Crucifix. And you could tell that he likes it. He's more than amused by it, because the leftist priest who designed it in Bolivia, in South America, who made the Communist Crucifix, this is, which looks almost like a cross, but really it's a hammer and sickle. It's a hammer and sickle with Jesus on it being crucified. And he's presented this. Now, that priest was killed. And so the conservative Catholics tried to say, well, this was given as a gift to the Pope. You can't blame the Pope for what somebody gives to him. But he was presented with this communist crucifix, and then he stopped at the site where that leftist priest was killed to pray there. And so it's not true that you can dismiss this by, well, he's not responsible for what he is given, because he brings honor to the man who created the communist crucifix. And of course, the communists, are officially godless in all of their manifestations in history since Karl Marx and Engels and North Korea and China and Cuba and everywhere that communism has been expressed. They're officially godless. They persecute the followers of Jesus Christ. They steal systematically everything from everyone and decide how to divvy it up in ways to keep them in power and mostly keep everyone else in poverty. So it's a cruel and immoral economic system, and yet the Pope has an affinity for these leftist, godless philosophies. So that was the second Francis photo that was disturbing that came across our studio desk just this week. So finally, we've reached the two important subjects in school that girls do much better at than boys. And this should freak out the feminist, right? Because feminists want equality. If you think about the issues that the left is motivated by, if you think about it, really, it's the issues that provide for sex without responsibility. That's really what motivates them, because that's the best way to destroy a human being. And better than killing someone, if you want to win a battle in the war against God, better than killing someone is to get that person to destroy themselves, to get that person themselves to rebel against God. And so sex without responsibility, that is one of the most effective means that the left has to turn people against Jesus Christ. So this study, the feminists should be so upset. It's a massive study. 4 million American students over a period of more than a quarter of a century, and they have determined that girls over an 8-year period between 4th and 12th grades, that girls do far better at reading and writing than do boys. And this has got to horrify feminists, right? Because they advocate for equality. Over the decades, in fact, back when we were first on the air in the 1990s, the feminists would be outraged because boys did better at math and science. And I'd respond to that on the air and say, yeah, boys do better at math and science, and girls do better at pretty much everything else. So what in the world does that mean? Because they claimed that the reason that boys did better at math and science is because the teachers somehow despised the girls, or the administrators somehow despised the girls, or somehow that disrespect for girls was so systemic that the teachers were too stupid to realize it and to be able to counteract it. But in reality, men and women are different. That's something that horrifies the left. And compared to the 1990s, today they have taken that delusion that men and women are the same. They've taken it to hysterical lunacy, that idea that men and women are the same. So, hey, it took, what, 27 years to confirm, at least in reading and writing. And let me ask you, to be successful as a human being, how important is reading and writing? It's up there, right? It's up there, maybe higher than science. Wouldn't you say far more people are successful and are good at reading and writing than are successful and good at science? Wouldn't you say that the bias there overwhelmingly favors the girls? Overwhelmingly? Of course it does. And of course, feminists are not interested at all in equality. And of course, equality outside of the realm of criminal justice is immoral. Equality outside of the realm of criminal justice is immoral because in order to make people equal, you have to take away their freedom. Because as soon as you give people freedom, they will not be equal. And so if you think about the issues that really motivate the left as compared to the way conservative Christians are motivated, you know, there are issues that the followers of Christ will die for, right? There are issues that we will die for, our justice and freedom and so on. However, with the left, they have the issues that they will kill for. That's their modus operandi. And if someone will come between them and their convenience or their agenda, then killing that person, and I'm speaking now mostly of children, innocent children, then killing that person is something they will celebrate. To dismember a little boy or a little girl, to literally rip off his arms and legs and kill that child. Or if it's an elderly person, to euthanize that person. So if you think about the kinds of issues that motivate the left, they are the issues that promote sexual immorality and sex without responsibility. So right off the bat, abortion, right? Does abortion promote sex without responsibility? Well, obviously, right? How about animal rights? That's a very different issue, right? Does that support sex without responsibility? Well, when you elevate animal rights, you denigrate human rights, making people seem just like animals so they can act like animals and have sex with whoever or whatever they want to without responsibility. So then there's also the environmental movement, because they wickedly claim that animals and bugs even are as valuable as people. And then they think that their behavior is justified by an appeal to animal behavior. So evolution says animals turned into men, but it actually turns men into animals. And then evolution itself, because of the reason I just gave. These are the issues that impassion the left. Evolution turns men and women into mere animals who then think that they're justified in behaving like animals. Feminism brings women down to the gutter to share in the sexual promiscuity of men, and it denies that God made us male and female and put boundaries around our sexual behavior. Homosexuality, of course, right? Homosexuality empties the cup of lust to its dregs and promotes sex without responsibility. The left, they want to give condoms to kids, right? And they do, to promote sex without responsibility from a young age. The left wants legalized adultery. Huh, forget that. So does Focus on the Family. Legalized adultery. And of course, legalized fornication. And of course, legalized pornography. So did James Dobson. He was on the President's Commission on Pornography, and he only argued that we need to regulate pornography, as though it should be legal to traffic in human sexuality. But he doesn't know this because he was a secular psychologist, and so he was not ready for the moral and spiritual battle that he became the head of in America. And there's all the other issues, no-fault divorce, overpopulation, and legalized prostitution, public education, public housing, and all of it, even welfare, all sex without responsibility. That's what motivates the left. This is Bob Enyart. May God bless you.
Hi, my name is Joe Scott. I've been a pro-life sidewalk counselor outside of abortion mills for the past 27 years, and I've seen hundreds of moms change their mind, and scores of them have trusted in Christ. Every day I'm confronted by people with accusations and questions about God, so my understanding of the Bible needs to be accurate and defensible. One of the most valuable tools in my ministry is Bob Enyart's manuscript, The Plot. Although I was educated in theology, I didn't quite understand how to rightly divide the word of truth. After reading The Plot, questions that I had for years were answered, and that in turn made me a more effective witness on the street. I would strongly recommend The Plot to anyone who has a real desire to represent God's word responsibly and accurately to our lost and dying world. I'm hoping that you will order The Plot online at kgov.com. That's kgov.com. Or by calling 1-800-8-ENYARD. That's 1-800-836-9278. 800-836-9278. Thank you.